Hello, welcome to another video in our study through the book of Exodus. Last week, we looked at God parting the Red Sea to completely deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians who had chased after them into the wilderness, and how God drowned the entire Egyptian army to completely free them from their oppressors. As we move forward into the next chapter, Exodus chapter 15, at the beginning of that chapter, we see what's called the Song of Moses, this song of praise to God for his deliverance, for his salvation from their enemies. But what we see as we continue on in the book of Exodus is that the people of Israel, even though they had been freed from slavery in Egypt, were still slaves to their sin, specifically to the sin of unbelief. It's incredible how quickly we human beings can forget the goodness of God, can forget the things that God has done for us. And we see the Israelites doing that exact thing in the next few chapters in the book of Exodus. Our first example of this comes in Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, "Then Moses made Israel send out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah," which in Hebrew means bitter. "And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" So as they go out, they find a place where there's no drinkable water, and the people are now complaining and saying, "Well, what are we going to drink? Did you think about that, Moses, when you brought us out of slavery?" Verse 25, "And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer.'" So essentially, God says, gives Moses this log that he throws into the water and makes it to where it is now drinkable, and essentially saying, "Look, you guys have just got to have your faith in me. Follow the path that I lay out for you, and everything will be fine. Don't worry what's going to happen." You know, God's basically telling them, "I've got you. I will protect you. I will provide for you." But we turn around and we see again in chapter 16, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So now, just a few months later, they start to bring up this complaint saying, "There's no food out here. We, at least in Egypt, we had plenty of good food to eat, and now you've brought us out here, and we're going to die of hunger out here in the wilderness." Again, you know, they've seen God do these incredible miracles just a few short weeks ago, and now they are already acting like God who can part the Red Sea, God who can do these incredible plagues on Egypt, is not going to be able to provide food for them. So God promises to give the people food. In verse 4 of chapter 16, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?'" So God promises, "I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. I'm going to bring quail so that they can have meat to eat. I'm going to provide for them so much that there will be no doubt how much I love them, how much I'm taking care of them." And Moses and Aaron, I like how they even say to the people, you know, you're not really grumbling against us. Your grumbling is really against God, because what can we do? to just pull. We can't make red bread rain from heaven. And so God promises this. And in the midst of this passage, we get to our key verse. In verse 11 of chapter 16, the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God essentially telling the people of Israel, stop doubting. Quit your unbelief. Trust me. I'm bringing this food for you so that you will know that I am the Lord Almighty. But notice, not just that he said that I am the Lord, but that I am your God. That I have a relationship with you. That I am committed to this thing. That I am all in, so you can see how much I love you and how much I care about you. How much I want to protect you and provide for you. If only you would just trust me. Believe that I am there for you. And so God makes these promise to the Israelites to send them bread from heaven and quail. As you continue on in chapter 16, God actually does end up providing this bread from heaven, which the people end up calling manna, which comes from a Hebrew word that means what is that? Because they have no idea what it is. It's bread from heaven, as Moses says. Even Jesus later would go on to say that it was bread from heaven. So I don't know what type of bread it was. Apparently they never seen anything like it, but they said it's manna. What is it? The other thing that happens is that Moses got, because of God's instruction, Moses gives the people a set of rules about gathering twice as much the day before the Sabbath, which would be Friday, because he said, look, on the seventh day, on Saturday, you are going to take a Sabbath of rest. This is a principle that God's going to establish for them in just a little bit when he establishes the law. But it's a principle that actually goes back all the way to the beginning of creation when God created the entire world and everything in it in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. God doesn't need to rest. He did this to establish a pattern for us human beings who might sometimes overwork ourselves, to establish this pattern that, hey, sometimes you need to rest. And so the Sabbath, which we'll talk about more later, was going to be established firmly amongst the people of Israel who are going to become God's covenant people. And so he tells them, go out and gather twice as much the day before the Sabbath, because you will not find any manna, any bread from heaven. You will not find any quail out there on the Sabbath day, because I don't want anybody out there working. They need to be resting. And even that command, that simple, there were people that could not follow it. They didn't gather twice as much the day before. And when they went out on the Sabbath looking for it, there was nothing. And Moses was upset. God was upset because these people are stubborn. They're hard-hearted. They will not listen. And so we see another example of this in chapter 17 of the book of Exodus, starting in verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So we see a third example, just within a few short weeks after being crossing the Red Sea, after being delivered from Egypt, that here's a third example of where they get to a place and there's no water and they start complaining against Moses again. What's going on, Moses? Well, we don't have any water. You're just bringing us out here to die? What's going on? And once again, let's consider that not only have they just seen 10 incredible plagues, not only have they just seen God parting the Red Sea, not only have they seen God turning a undrinkable water source into a pure water source, they've seen God rain down bread from heaven, sending them quail so that they can have meat to eat and not just bread all the time, and yet they're still complaining and wondering, how are we going to survive out in this desert? They are demonstrating that their slavery to the Egyptians was not their main problem, but their main problem is their slavery to their sin. And we've talked about throughout this book of Exodus how there are parallels between our spiritual condition of slavery to sin and the Israelites' physical condition. And we see that being played out again here as the Israelites demonstrate that just because someone has been positionally freed does not mean their soul, their spirit has been freed. Just because they have been freed from their, you know, their physical hardship does not mean that their spiritual life is intact. No, there's a lot of ways that we could apply this. There's a lot of ways that we could look at this. You know, one would be to look at political circumstances and say that just because we free somebody from poverty does not mean that we've brought that person to Christ. Just because someone's financial situation has been improved does not mean they've been brought to Christ. Just because someone's economic, someone's marital position, someone's social position has been improved does not mean that they have been freed from their sins. No, that is something that only Jesus can do. Only the death and resurrection of Jesus provides the opportunity for us to be made holy in the sight of God, for us to begin to be transformed into the likeness of our Creator in the way we were designed to be. And it is this that the Israelites lack. It is this that God wants to provide for them, the opportunity to be made holy. But at the moment, they're too stubborn to see it. As we continue on in the next few chapters in the book of Exodus, we are going to see God's plan for the people of Israel as he begins to walk them on their journey of becoming his people, of becoming a holy people. And we'll see if they learn, if they grow, and if they remove the unbelief from their hearts, because that's the true problem. Their unbelief is holding them back from receiving the blessings that God wants to give them, from fully receiving the blessings that God wants to give them. I hope and pray that something said here today has ministered to you, and I hope that you go and share it with everyone around you. Thank you, and God bless.